Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I always want to start just with so much appreciation in my heart and just appreciative to get to be here, to get to have this honor to be up here. I mean, I just look out in the crowd, and it's amazing people that we've been at the church, or I have, for since 2003. And so many people sitting in this room 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last month, have just been tremendous blessings in our life, have just been there at a time of need, have been there just to be generous, just to be hospitable, just to create connection. And I'm so thankful for all of you in this room. I'm especially thankful for Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, just for the investment that they've made into our life. I came here as a college student. I fully intended to move back to Texas. Probably not the southern tip of Texas, but I was going to go back to Texas. I was thinking maybe Austin, but the minute that I started coming here, I just knew this is where I was supposed to be. And shortly after that, I did the internship and have been here ever since and have just loved every second of it. I'm thankful to get to raise our family here. I'm thankful to get to be in fellowship with all of you. And so let's appreciate Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy for just creating this place for us. I'm so thankful to have it, and more than anything, I'm thankful that our kids have it, that our kids are getting to be raised around these families, and so I'm just thankful. So I want to say, hopefully you guys know, if not, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it tonight, but through Guts Discipleship, we are doing monthly themes on Wednesday nights, and that's also what goes into our Guts group. So when the groups meet each month, they talk about whatever the theme is, and so the theme right now is your inner circle. It's basically the relationships in your life, whether it's family or friends or whatever it is, making those strong and healthy, and how to build stronger bridges with people. And so that is what I was supposed to talk about tonight. And whenever I found out I was speaking, the next day I had notes written out for your inner circle and all of these different things. And this past weekend, God just kind of put something different on my heart that is really fresh, because it's kind of what we have been facing together, but I really, really feel strongly about sharing it. But it's funny because I am a major role follower. Whatever that personality is, I'm not sure, but I am a role follower. If there is a role, I am going to follow it because I think it's there for a reason, and that is important. A lot of you are probably like, I am the opposite of that. And I thought about this. I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, this is how much of a role follower I am. When we got engaged, Dubs proposed to me at the Cityplex Towers across from ORU. It was up on the 60th floor, and the week leading up to that, our friends are like, hey, there's this alumni thing. We're going to go over during halftime. Let's all go to the basketball game together. We'll walk over. It's going to be fun, which, of course, I am not cluing in. We didn't talk about it before we got engaged. And so the girls are like, let's go do our nails. And then, you know, Molly's like, there's going to be a thing. Like, we kind of need to dress nice for it. Never catching on to any of it. So we're all at the game together, and all of them left. It was like the second quarter, and they were all like, we've got to go check on this, or I've got to go early to set up. And I'm like, okay. So Dubs and I are sitting there watching this basketball game, and I'm like, he was totally zoned out, probably not even watching, like sweating, thinking about what he's about to do. And I'm over here like, hey, we're going to go eat, you know, in between, whatever. And so we walk over. We go to the 60th floor, and the elevator opens, and there's this, I think it was like Notebook music playing. There's candles everywhere, roses everywhere. Little did I know that there was like friends of ours rolling around in the dark, like taking pictures and stuff. No idea. So we go in, there's this music playing, and Dove's like, oh, let's check this out. The role follower in me is like, no. He's like, just come on. So I step in there, and there's the spot where it's all windows. You can see the whole, you know, whatever. And it was all set up in this little alcove, you know, like I said, candles, all this stuff. And to me, I felt like I was trespassing on something. And so I'm pulling his hand like, and I remember saying exactly, somebody has set this all up and lit these candles. We have to go now. And I'm like pulling him. Like, I'm thinking, whoever did this is coming back and we're going to get caught. This is not right. Let's go. And literally, when he's like, I at that moment, I dropped to one knee because I realized that's what it was going to take for you to realize that this was actually for us. And so I say all that to say that as much as I really would like to share my notes on the inner circle, I feel like there's just a different direction for it. So what I'm going to do, and this is also kind of like a shameless plug, is I'm going to post those notes tomorrow on our Facebook group. We started a Guts Discipleship Facebook group. Hopefully you're part of it. If not, go on Facebook. It's just Guts Discipleship. And we just update things on there. It's easy to have a quick way to be able to communicate with you, have different things going on. So check that out. I will add those there. So then it's kind of like I was still doing what I was supposed to do. So enough with that. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for your word that goes forth with power. I thank you that it breaks yokes of bondage in all of our lives tonight. And I just thank you that your word is anointed. God, we look to you, we honor you, and we just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with telling you a story about how my house was broken into. It was about a year ago. You're like, oh, awesome. It was about a year ago. It was crazy because I had just talked to Dubs. He had just left the house, and I was leaving the girl's school driving to the house. So it was probably a gap of like 10 minutes. And I pulled up to the house, and there was a minivan backed up into our driveway. Well, that morning, we had talked about someone coming to fix the pool. And so in my head, I'm thinking that, you know, that they probably backed up like that because they had like pool tools back there to fix our pool. And so it made sense to me. I went ahead and pulled in front of it. And right when I did that, I just had this like, let me just like make sure, just in case. And so I called Dubs. Well, he didn't answer, which if any of you have ever called him, you probably got the same response. And so I'm like, what do I do? And so I was about to get out thinking it's totally the pool guy. I'll go talk to him. But I didn't. And so I pulled back out and reversed onto our street where I could see our front door, where there's windows. And I pulled back and I saw someone standing in our entryway. He saw me reverse back and took off running. I'm like, 911, what do you do when this happens? And anyways, he pulled out, got, you know, shot through our front yard and everything. And so that happened. And some of you may know, maybe just from Second Mile, but I have had to overcome major fear things in my life from the past. Just nothing even major that happened in my life, but it was just a grip of fear that I didn't understand and didn't know how to overcome until I came here and understood the word and understood renewing my mind. And so I've had that history with like, this is a major thing that I've had to break in my life and I've had to overcome. And so I had friends that were checking in on me, which is important in life, that you have people that know the things that you've dealt with and are able to come to you and say, okay, like, you know, one of them's texting me and is like, are you good? Are you having thoughts of fear? Like, are you okay? Like, and I remember genuinely telling her, I'm like, I'm actually good. Like, I know how to combat fear now. I feel like I've overcome it. That doesn't mean that I don't ever get those thoughts, but I know how to quickly cast them down because I know what they feel like and I know what they sound like. And so I'm on top of it. And so I remember telling her, like, I'm good. I'm not dealing with fear about it. I'm not thinking anything like that. So awesome. So 6 months later, probably six, eight, however many months later, I was praying and just, you know, there's just kind of another battle or mountain or whatever you want to call it that we've been facing. And I've just been getting after it, you know, doing the things Pastor Bill is talking about doing. We bind and we loose and we speak God's word and we trust his promise and we don't let go. We keep our stand. And one of the days that I was praying and just believing and you know, speaking to that mountain in front of us, I had this nagging little thing in the back of my mind as I'm trying to speak God's word and trying to like, God, my trust is in you. I'm standing in faith with this. But I had this little thought, this little doubt in the back of my mind that was just like, how did your house get broken into? And I remember I kept hearing it and I didn't want to face it. I ignored it because I just thought, I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know, I don't even want to face that right now. I just want to move forward. And, you know, because to me, I'm looking at it like I know God's word. I speak God's word every day that, you know, no weapon formed against us can prosper, that there's a hedge of protection covering, no evil, no harm can come near our dwelling. And so that little nagging thought or question or doubt started coming into my life, and I'm thinking, oh God, like how can I move forward with this thing? How can I battle and cast that thing out when that doubt is just like a seed there trying to rob me from what you're wanting me to do over here? And so finally, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna face this. I'm gonna figure this out and move on. And what I want to tell you all tonight, there may be things in your life, and I believe there are if there's a reason that I'm sharing this, because this was not something I was really prepared to share, but that there's things in your life that have happened to you, to someone around you, maybe going through right now, that you're not sure why they're happening the way they are, or you're not getting the answer or the outcome that you feel like was supposed to happen. And this is what I want to lead you to, because this is what God led me to, and this is how I believe we overcome those things, because God's purpose for us is not for us to be trapped in moments from our past, in doubts from our past. His purpose and his plan for us is to be free, to be able to say to that mountain, be cast out and be removed, because I'm going to walk in victory here. But I can't do that if I'm stuck questioning something like, why did that happen that way? I don't understand. And here's what I read. It's in John 6:66, and I'll kind of give a little bit of background. It was Jesus with the disciples. This is coming right off of him feeding the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. Then he walks on water, and then he starts talking to his disciples about his death and resurrection. He starts talking to them about how they're going to, that his body is bread and how they're going to eat his body and drink his blood. And he's telling them what's going to happen, and he's trying to explain it. And this is what it says in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what the 12 disciples were saying is, we don't understand that either. We don't understand how we're supposed to eat your flesh and drink your blood. But where else are we going to go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life, and we have come to know and believe that you are who you say we are. You are. And so we're not going to doubt because we don't understand something. And that's where I had to come to. It wasn't that, oh, I got this answer, and it's like, oh, okay, everything's good now. That's my flesh. My flesh wants an answer, like, how did that happen? Why did that happen? I don't understand it. That's not God. And I have to be able to come to the place to say, God, where else am I going to go? Am I going to let that moment rob me from your purpose and plan for my life? Am I going to decide that because something didn't work out the way that I thought it should, that your promise isn't true? No, because why are we Christians? Why do we even have faith if we're going to change our stance the minute something doesn't go the way we thought it should? Faith is us trusting, just like these disciples, and saying, I don't understand that. You have something in your life right now that you probably don't understand, that you don't know why it hasn't happened yet or why it's happening the way it's happening. And what I want to encourage you with today is getting to a place in your life where you can say, God, where else would I go? I don't have anywhere else to go from here. I don't want to go anywhere else from here, because you are the only one. Not your spouse, not your friends, no one else. No one else has the words of eternal life. There's no one and nothing that you could ever turn to that is going to be able to answer that for you. Only he has the words of eternal life, and we know and believe that he is who he says he is. So if I want to move forward and step into God's purpose and plan every single day, I have to get past that doubt. I have to get past that fear. I have to get past that questioning. You know, our flesh wants to have an answer for things. Our flesh thinks that we need to be validated by an answer from God. Do you know who God is? Do y'all remember Job? Do you remember how God was like, "Where were you when I created the heaven and the earth?" Okay, never mind. Forget I said anything. God, you know. You have the truth. You have the answer. Your eternal life. That's all I have. I'm not turning anywhere else. This is what's going to work for me because I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Do not let circumstances, do not let something not working out in the time frame that you were hoping it would, do not let your flesh or the enemy or deception or lies or maybe something that you've been your entire life, do not let that keep you from God's promise. You can overcome. You can walk in His truth. You can be who God has called you to be. Don't let your past hold you down. Don't let your past hold you bound. Be free and be who God has called us to be. We are not the kind of Christians that walk with Him no more because we don't understand. Think of those disciples that turned their back and were like, "I don't understand that. I'm going back to my normal life." Think about them hearing about His resurrection. Think about them not being a part of everything that happened in Acts. Think about what they missed out on and who they could have been. Do we ever hear anything else about whoever those guys were? No. We hear all about the 12 disciples and what God did in and through them after He was risen again. And so that's who we're called to be as Christians. We don't turn because something doesn't work out our way. We trust God. We walk by faith. I feel like I say that every time I'm on this stage. We walk by faith and not by sight. But it's the biggest thing. I mean, I probably confess that over my life every day because that's what I have need of in my life because I see too many things. I see too much that is discouraging or that doesn't line up with maybe like, wait a minute, why does that work out that way? It doesn't matter. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. And if you don't feel it right now, I'm going to encourage you to start saying it every single day. Start saying it out of your mouth. I walk by faith and not by sight. This didn't happen how it was supposed to. I walk by faith and not by sight. That's how you do it. That's how you overcome. Pastor Bill says all the time, you don't overcome negative thoughts with positive thoughts. You speak God's word into your life. You speak into existence His promise and everything that He has planned for you. Don't let your flesh talk you out of God's promise in your life. This made me think of Joseph, which is, I feel like, talked about a lot because his story is amazing. But I was watching the cartoon version with Stella two nights ago. And she has only seen me cry like a few times. And it was at the very end where Joseph, which if you don't know the story of Joseph, he's given this dream when he's a boy that he is going to be this great, mighty person that his brothers and even his father is going to bow down to. And that gets him into trouble. He ends up getting sold into slavery, prison. He gets into a prosperous position. Then he goes back into slavery, all these things, into prison. And so, but the part that really just got me was the end, which you should watch that movie. It is a cartoon one, but it's so good. And I'm watching it, and it was just such a beautiful picture of God because Joseph went through all these years of being thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, one prison, then another prison, all these things. But at the end, he's there in Egypt, and he is able to bring salvation to his entire family. His father, who he hadn't seen in so many years, his younger brother, who he'd never met, all of his other brothers and their families, they all come so that he can provide for them, so that they don't starve. And as that last part's happening, I mean, tears are just like, because I just thought, what could Joseph have felt in that moment? Do you think that he was thinking about the days he spent in prison? Do you think that he was thinking about how wrong it seemed how he got there? I think that he was looking at his family and what he was able to do for them and just thinking, God, you are so faithful and I would do it all again. I don't understand why it happened this way. It doesn't make sense to me. I didn't love those times in prison, But God, how faithful you are. God, you brought this salvation to my entire family that they didn't have to be out there starving for 7 years, but that they were able to live comfortably back together, restored together as a family. And I believe that that's God's heart for us. And so I don't want to look at it like, well, why am I in prison? Well, why did this happen? Well, why did that happen? God is faithful. He's true to his word. He is good every time, all the time. And he will come through for you in your situation. It may not look how it's supposed to look. It may not happen how and when you want it to happen. But God is faithful. And his word doesn't return void. It's always going to come to fruition in our lives. And something else that I really... So that's kind of part A. I really just want to get, this is the part that I really want to talk about. I want to move past our past. I want to get past things holding me back. I want to get past those doubts and fears that just keep getting in the way every time I'm trying to move forward with God. We're done with that. Part B, I was jogging in my neighborhood not long ago. It was a little long ago. I don't do it often, so don't be impressed. But this day I was jogging in my neighborhood and you know, I'm just listening to my music and the Lord is speaking to me. and God just kind of dropped something in my heart, and he reminded me of when I used to run cross country. I was not good at that either, but I ran all 4 years because it was fun and I loved our coach and we got to travel and our team was really good. So we went to state like every year. And so, but God just kind of reminded me what I used to do. And, you know, for girls, it's 2 miles, or it was, it might have changed, but it's 2 miles. And I would basically just kind of jog the entire time. And the last, like, 800 meters, I would sprint it in. I would pass, like, 15 girls. And I felt great about myself, even though I might have just gone from, like, number 68 to number 54. Still, I passed 14 girls or 12, whatever. I passed all those girls, and I remember every time I would, you know, walk up to my coach, and she called me 9 because we had shirts made, and the A in my name was an E, so she called me 9 like all 4 years. And so I would walk up to her, and she's like, 9, you should never have that much left at the end. And I'd be like, did you not see the 12 girls that I passed right there at the end? Because I thought that was awesome. And God just kind of dropped in my heart, back fast forward as I'm jogging, that, and he just said, you know, don't do that in your life. Don't save it till the end. Don't go through life doing what you can do, doing what feels good, doing what works for you, what you feel like you can handle, and then get to your end of the end of your life and be like, you should never have that much left. You should never have that much left at the end of your life. And I started thinking about it because I started thinking about all the things and all the different ways that I try to preserve myself, whether it's with love or forgiveness or time and effort, whether it's with having the desire to change and grow. Some of us are too set in how we've always been and what these are my weaknesses, this is who I am, that we're not even trying to get better, that we're not even trying to move forward to who God has called us to be. And so what I want to tell you tonight is don't save it. Don't hold in your forgiveness. Don't hold in your acceptance of people. Don't hold in your effort. Be here at the nightmare. If you've never been to the nightmare, you know what? It's one of the first things I ever did at this church, and I love it. Am I a scare people person? No, not at all. But it's an opportunity to minister to people. It's an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. It's an opportunity for me to step out of myself and my own world and my own, here's what I'm doing with my life, to say, I'm going to take the next 4 hours and focus on every person that doesn't know God that's coming onto this campus. Whatever it is in your life, don't hold back. Don't try to preserve it thinking that I may run out or I may not have enough left at the end. Live every day to its fullest. Live every day to where you're worn out at the end of the day because you've been doing everything that God's called you to do. And the only way that we do that is this. It's James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is how we are refilled and refreshed. I think there's so much in our culture right now that is all about, I'm not knocking any of these things, self-care, self-love, invest in yourself, make sure you have the right no's. It's okay to say no to things. And it is. Go for it. All I'm saying is, let's not use the current flow of the world to be an excuse for us doing what God has called us to do. Don't miss out on any single thing that God has for you, whether it's investing in and mentoring someone younger than you, whether it's coming up to Friday Grow. We have so many opportunities at this church to serve people. It's crazy. But even if it's not one of those, figure out in your life what you need to do, what God has called you to do, what He's put on your heart, what He has built you for on this earth. Let's not fall into the systems or the kind of thinking of the world that's like, well, I need to make sure I'm staying healthy. Let me tell you something. The only way you stay healthy is through God. The scripture that I just read to you says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That is through God and God alone. You can't get enough pedicures to make you be refilled. It's only through His Spirit and through His power that is residing on the inside of you. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. I'm not going to get worn out. I'm not going to not be able to handle something. God has empowered me to be who He's called me to be, and I can do that, and I will do that, and I'm not going to let what someone else is saying hold me back from living in the fullness that God has called me to. That is what I want every single person here today. Two things. I'm going to give you my last 2 points at the very end. Number one, don't receive any doubt. Don't receive any doubt. Don't let doubt have any place in your life. You have to know, just like those disciples, we've come to know and believe that you are who you say you are. We know and believe that God is who He says He is, that His word is true, that it doesn't return void, but it does what it was sent to do in our life. And I don't care if you have to wait 1 or 2 or 3 years, God's promise is true, and we don't let up from that. We don't let our flesh, we don't let time, we don't let people in the world distract us from that. We keep trusting God. Is it easy every day? No. It's hard. You get discouraged. But you I sent Dubs a text a couple of weeks ago, and I was kind of joking, but we were just talking. I'm like, oh, I feel a little bit weary. You know what his response was? You can tell we have a really encouraging relationship. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I was like, got it. I will do that. Lord, I encourage myself in you. But you know what? That's why we're together, because we're both that way. It's like at the end of the day, He is not my source. He is not my fulfillment. He is not my encouragement. He is not my joy or my peace or my strength. God alone is. And going back to my notes about your inner circle, that's how we can have strong relationships, is when we first put ourselves in a place of confidence in Him, that I don't need anyone or anything else to fill me but Him alone. And as I'm filled through Him, that I'm filled all in all, lacking nothing, I can have the most amazing friendships. I can have the most amazing relationships in my life because I know who I am in Christ, and I'm not looking for anyone else to validate that in me. And that's who God has called us to be. Number two, don't hold back. Don't get to the end of your life and say, how do I have all this left? I didn't exhaust everything that God put in me because I was afraid. That is not the life that God has called us to live, and that's not who we are as Christians. That's not who we are as Guts Church. We are Christians that are going to say, I don't understand that drinking blood and eating flesh, but where else would I go? I'm here with you, God, because it's you alone that have the words of eternal life. It's you alone that are who you say you are. You are the only one that can be that savior in my life. And so I want to pray for you guys tonight. If one of those two things. If there is something like me, as I'm trying to battle something in front of me, this doubt is holding me back, this question, this fear, this, I don't understand that. If you have something like that in your life, I want you to acknowledge it. You got to start with acknowledging it, and then you have to root it out. You have to let it go. You have to not let yourself dwell on it anymore, and you have to trust God. And then the second thing is, if you feel like in your life, you've been holding back. You've been holding back your acceptance of people, love that you could give and share with people, forgiveness, that will destroy you. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. There's no point in it. Anything that is causing you to hold back on who God's called you to be, don't get to the end of your life and wish that you had done something more. Wish that you had gone after that idea or after that opportunity. Let's not do that. I look back on my cross-country days and I'm like, this is crazy. I right now could beat my 16-year-old self in a 2-mile. Is that because I am in any better shape? No. It is because my mind has been renewed. It is because I don't have the same hold on my mind that I did back then. I was so afraid of running out. I didn't know how to overcome it back then, even though my coach told me every week, you should never, you know, every week. I didn't know how to overcome it. But because of this church, because of the teaching that I've been under, because of the training I've had, my mind is free. My mind is strong because it's full of God's word. And so I can go out and run a 2-mile and not be afraid that I'm going to pass out, which is so silly anyways. But my point is, there's things in our life that we do that with, that we're afraid, that we don't want to let go of. And God's just saying, be who I've called you to be. You're equipped for every good work. I created you to do this, to be this, to fulfill this. Do it. Don't keep waiting for someone else to pull it out of you. It's up to you. It's up to you to take that step and walk in it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.